Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, and we go to John Costco of Pro Football Focus. How you living, John?
I'm doing great. Garrett, how are you doing?
I'm doing really well. Another week, another Browns game. They got an opportunity to come out here. I've always been kind of a little bit scared about this game. I always thought this was a trap game for the Browns, even when I saw the schedule at the beginning of the year. Specifically, now that Myles Garrett is not playing, I think this game is in Arizona, and I think it's going to be traditionally the Browns don't play really well in West Coast games. But I think this game is going to be a little difficult for the Browns, especially when they're dealing with a mobile quarterback in Kyler Murray. I know Kyler hasn't been playing well lately, but it looks like this is a game where the Browns are going to be challenged because they haven't been able to get a pass rush with the front four. What are some things that you've seen with the Cardinals and taking a look at them with their offense? What Cliff Kingsbury has been trying to do with a little bit of a unique flair for their offense?
Yeah, from a defensive perspective for the Browns, it's going to be a challenge because obviously when you have a mobile quarterback like Kyler Murray, you've got to be able to try to keep him in the pocket and make him throw from the pocket, because what he does best is obviously improvising and giving his receivers time downfield to get open and then hit them. And when he's able to do that and has the time, he has very good accuracy. He's got a very good arm. And then obviously if you break contain, he can bust a big one. So it'll be a very big challenge for this defense because of the injuries that the Browns have. And then what they do is they run a lot of 10 personnel, which is four receivers and one running back and no tight ends. Though they do run, they run a tight end out there quite often with Max Williams. He has, 365 some odd snaps, but they spread you out and make you cover the entire field. And when you do that, it also does give them the rushing lanes up the middle for the running backs. And, Kenyon Drake's having a solid season for them. But, they stress you at all levels of the field because they got speed on the outside. And, their receivers, Larry Fitzgerald, is still one of the, he's obviously an all-time great wide receiver. He's not what he was in his prime, but he's still a very good possession receiver. He knows how to get open. He knows how to, when the ball gets in his vicinity, he's more than likely going to be catching it. So they have a lot of elements of that offense that are going to be challenging for this defense, especially how depleted it is with the injuries and losing Myles Garrett and whatnot. So containing Kyler Murray is key number one to being able to hold them to fewer points. And, as a rookie, he's prone to be making mistakes. So it's going to be a challenge, but it's doable.
Moving and shifting a little bit, we talked yesterday. We were texting back and forth, and I said, we wanted to get into a little something different. And, I was sitting there thinking and looking at what LeBron Jackson has been doing. And and I said, if you had to really regrade Baker Mayfield's draft based on the grades that you have with his draft class for quarterbacks right now, where would you redraft the class? Specifically talking about Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield. Where would you have that class if you had to re-rank them based on their production and their grades so far this year?
Well, so if you're looking at just this year, you're clearly taking Lamar Jackson number one overall. I don't think that's a question that is really need to go more into depth on. He's an MVP candidate, obviously. He's our number two overall graded quarterback this year, and you don't win in the NFL without that quarterback playing at a high level. But if you take in, the entire careers, Baker Mayfield's season last year was phenomenal. It was really good. It was, from a passing standpoint, better than what Lamar Jackson is doing this year from a passing standpoint. Obviously, Lamar Jackson adds a huge element to it with his legs and his ability to make, you know, players miss in the backfield to buy more time. He's got that dynamic element. But when it comes to that pure passing ability, Baker Mayfield's passing ability, when things go right for him, is better than Lamar Jackson. So, and then you look at the entire career, Baker Mayfield's overall grade is still higher, you know, when you account for last year. He's at an 82.2 overall. Lamar Jackson's at an 80.9. Last year, his passing was not that good. Obviously, when you bring in, you know, Greg Roman and have an offensive system that completely supports and elevates what Lamar Jackson does and allows him to do what he does best, then you're obviously putting him in a good position to succeed in a comfortable environment. We saw that last year, especially in the second half of the season, where Baker Mayfield in the right environment can light it up. And so far, we really haven't seen that this year. You know, the offensive line is awful. It's been really bad, especially the offensive tackles. The right guard's finally getting solidified with Wyatt Teller, and I think you've seen that a better piece at that spot where Eric Kush was a complete liability. He was allowing pressure right and left, and that affects the quarterback. Lamar Jackson has the best offensive line in football, bar none. It is unbelievable especially somebody like Ronnie Stanley's doing this year. He's given up 6 total pressures all year long. Part of that might be because teams are afraid to fully rush against Lamar Jackson, but still the fact remains he's giving up essentially nothing all year long and allowing, and it's pretty much across that board on that offensive line to just allow Lamar Jackson clean pockets, time to throw. And that helps. And Baker Mayfield really hasn't had that much this year. Some of it he's brought on himself by taking deep drops and whatnot. But the offensive tackles this year have been really poor. Right guard was really poor up until recently. So, you know, if you're a redraft and you're looking specifically at this year, yeah, you're taking Lamar Jackson. But I think if you want to take in their entire careers, I think, this Lamar Jackson might break the mold, right? But you win from the pocket. And Baker Mayfield, when a clean pocket's there and everything's gone right, he's been the better passer. So I think they go 1-2 easily in a redraft, and you look at their entire careers, and it just basically depends on your flavor. I think if you bring in the correct offensive system for Lamar Jackson, he does what he does, right? If you bring in the right offensive system and a right offensive line for Baker Mayfield, you saw what happened last year. So just pick your flavor. I still really high on Baker Mayfield in terms of what he can be, but Lamar Jackson, obviously you see what this type of ceiling is, and it's obviously MVP caliber.
Let me follow up with this question before we move on. Do you think Baker Mayfield's in the right system then?
No, I really don't, because he's not getting the right coaching as well. You know, you look at what he was able to do last year, and when Freddie Kitchens offensive coordinator, he had also a QB coach who was a 25-year veteran in Ken Zampezi. So he has a system there where Freddie Kitchens can only concentrate on the offense, creating game plans and creating plays and a system that goes to his strengths. Now that with Freddie Kitchens, he let Ken Zampezi go and he brought in a QB coach in Ryan Lindley, who basically was at San Diego State a year ago this time. He's never coached quarterbacks in the NFL before. So he's very new at what he's supposed to be doing. And he was also not a very good quarterback in the NFL either. So he's not getting that coaching there, and he doesn't have that system. So when Freddie Kitchens is, instead of just worrying about the offensive game plan, he now has to worry about the media. He has to worry about, the game management in games. He has to worry about the referees. He's always doing that type of stuff. So instead of calling the right plays, you know, might be his mind might be elsewhere instead of trying to properly put him in the best positions possible. Whereas Lamar Jackson, he's constantly getting that for sure. You've got John Harbaugh who's you know, going for it on fourth downs. He's making the correct decisions on when to go for it and when to punt it and when to kick the field goal. And then you got Greg Roman who's constantly looking at, all right, what's the situation here? Do we run it? We pass it, second long versus second and short. All those things kind of do matter in terms of elevating what the product is. So Baker's not in the right system and the right environment right now at all. And it shows in the grades. He's been better as of late, but it shows for sure.
Talking to John Costco in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I'm moving along, talking a little bit about around the league. Looking at around the league, and you look at some of the storylines, you look at like a guy like Tom Brady. And the Patriots, when we looked at it early in the year, I remember having a conversation when the Patriots were riding high and you saw a guy like Antonio Brown come out, and the Patriots were like almost unstoppable when they had Antonio Brown. I think it was a game against the Miami Dolphins, and he came out in his first game and had 100 yards. But since then, the Patriots haven't been able to muster any offense. It looks like they're just they're stagnant. They don't look like the same offense. What have you seen from Tom Brady as far as some of his some of his aging? You know, he's 40-some-odd years old. And what have you seen on film and his grades to maybe point to this might be his last hurrah as far as his regression?
There's a couple of factors that go into this. I think this shows how valuable good receivers are, and not just receivers, but tight ends and pass catching running backs as well. So you lose a Rob Gronkowski, and then the only player on that offense that can get open with any type of consistency is Julian Edelman. They let Josh Gordon go, who wasn't a big separator anyways, but he was a guy that you can rely on to be in the right spots, and because he knew that system, and also, you know, really good contested catch player. But, you know, you got two rookies in there, and N'Keal Harry, who isn't a very good separator and still learning the system. Jacoby Myers, same thing. He's a better separator, but he's still learning the system. Mohamed Sanu, he's a slow, reliable possession receiver, but he's not going to be separating. So the issue with the Patriots is that they have a lot of slow players that can't get open. And I think that shows, you know, in previous years, Brady may have been able to get away and elevate the talent and find these guys and buy more time. But at 42, he can't do that. He's got to be able to get rid of that ball quickly and see it and make sure that these guys are actually can trust these guys. We chart a lot of different things at PFF. And one of the things we chart is obviously drops and then miscommunication, you know, like what receivers going one way, Brady's throwing in another way. He has 20 miscommunication throws on the year. That's more than double the next closest in the NFL. And he's also leads the league in drops. So his receivers are really letting him down. He's not playing at the high levels that he had been the previous 5 years. He's at a 82.6. So it's an overall grade that's still a top 10 quarterback. You saw like with the Denver Broncos with Peyton Manning in his final year, you saw that he was struggling. He couldn't throw the ball. There's a lot of issues where he was just struggling because he just didn't have the arm strength anymore. It's not the same case with Tom Brady. He still has the play in him and the smarts and the arm to be able to play maybe another year, but he's got to get a lot of better help around him because he's not that good enough anymore to elevate that talent around him.
Looking, while we're talking about the quarterbacks, sticking on quarterbacks, this is the really burning question I wanted to get to because obviously this is going to be a year. I think this is going to be a pretty big and interesting draft class for quarterbacks. But I also think it's going to be a decent class for free agent quarterbacks, which doesn't come around a lot for quarterbacks that are veterans that are going to be released on the market for teams that may be in the market for a quarterback. When you look at it as teams in the offseason, you look at a lot of quarterbacks who may have been first-round quarterbacks or quarterbacks that have been taken in the first round previously that may be on the market. You look at a guy like Cam Newton and Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston, and even a guy like Teddy Bridgewater, whose deal is up in New Orleans. Out of those, say, hypothetical four names that may be available in the market, which out of those four names do you believe – teams will be most after, and which one of those guys do you believe still has the highest upside that could be a borderline, mid-level, still franchise guy?
I think that when you talk about upsize, Jameis Winston and Cam Newton have the highest upside because those guys can make, you know, big-time plays, and they have that you know, Cam Newton has his running ability along with a big time arm. But Cam's been injured basically three straight years now. We saw the high he could put out in 2015. I think that was more of an anomaly year for him, but I think he still has that rush, you know, that dual threat that you can maybe lean back on. But he is a player that, because of that dual threat ability, he's gotten hurt. So I think his upside is extremely high, but I don't think it's likely that he hits it. Jameis Winston, I think we see his high upside every single game where he's throwing, you know, 400 yards and four touchdowns. But then you see the disaster that he can be with, you know, basically four interceptions in a game. He's a guy that leads the NFL in basically big time throws, but he also leads the NFL in turnover worthy throws. And he's an extremely volatile player. But if you can somehow tap into him he cuts off on those turnover worthy throws, you know, he becomes an elite level quarterback. But the problem is that I don't think he's going to be able to get out of that. I think the most reliable player that you could look for is Teddy Bridgewater. He's a guy that's going to, you know, he's not going to throw a ton of big time throws, but he's definitely not going to put the ball in harm's way. And he can matriculate your team down the field. He's a high completion percentage guy. He's not going to throw it deep often, but he is accurate when he does so. You know, you look at his grades, you know, outside of that first game where he struggled, where he, you know, against the Rams when he was thrust into action, he was grading at an 80 plus level, which is obviously very good. You know, he does have that team around him, which the Saints are a very good team. But he's a guy that I think I could rely on the most. I think if you're looking for the highest upside and maybe if you think you can coach him out of the turnover he throws, that'd be Jameis Winston, because his big time is his high level plays are the best and they're at elite level. It's just, he's just got to be able to take care of the ball.
All right, John, I appreciate you. And we'll talk to you again next week.
My pleasure, Garrett.
All right. Always good to talk to you. That was John Kosko on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.